paper last week, or I don't know when it was, a week and a half ago or something, whenever it was. And we were just talking among ourselves, and Earlene said that she made a comment that to meditate upon God's word is a lost art. And I really, really got thinking about it. I don't know, it just really struck a chord with me, and I was thinking in myself, what I do. And I read the word, and I come hear the word, and we study the word, and but I don't meditate on it like I should, you know? So really stuck with me that it's very important that you do that. And the ones that are been in the meeting a long time, maybe they already do that, you know? But me, I wasn't doing it like I should. Now, I'm not saying I didn't think on the word, because I did, but not like I should. So this morning, my message is going to be on meditating on God's word. And so bear with me. I don't have a whole ton of scriptures, but I got a few. And so it's a personal meditation of God's word. This is personal. It should be very personal. Each person, how they meditate on God's word. And God wants us to do this. You know, when it says, Selah, think on this, it means meditate on it. It means, you know, don't just go, oh, Selah, yeah, and then go on. It really means to really look at it, really think about it. Search the scripture and think about what the scripture just said. And now it may not come instantly to you, you know. You have to do it for a while. Get into the word. According to Unger's Bible Dictionary, that meditation is a private devotional act consisting in deliberate reflection upon some spiritual truth or mystery accompanied by mental prayer and by the acts of affection and of the will, especially formation of resolutions as to future conduct. The part I like more than anything about this is a private devotional act consisting in deliberate reflection upon spiritual truth. There's a mystery. God has mysteries in here. You can't understand the mystery without the Holy Spirit. You've got to dive into the Word, and you've got to meditate upon it. If you ask the Holy Spirit, He's going to give you the truth, and it will no longer be such a mystery to you. So I want to start in the book of Joshua. And turn there if you like, Joshua 1. And this, of course, is the book of Joshua is after the death of Moses. And the Lord is speaking to Joshua here from the first verse on. He said in verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses. And he goes on to tell him how far this is. But in verse 7, it says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou shalt, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have success. The Lord says, have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. The Lord is always with us, constantly. He's there. You just have to call upon him. And also, meditate on his word. Meditate on his testimonies that are given throughout the word of different ones. All these men were given the word according to the Holy Spirit. So they're true and faithful. There's no doubt about it. Let's turn to Psalms 1. Now, I really like this Psalms 1 and 2 and all of them, but Psalms 1, we're going to read the first three verses. Psalms 1, 1 through 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Or in other words, ponder by talking to oneself. His delight is in the law of God. He delights in it. He meditates on it day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, or the channels of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now the Lord, I like this part in verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord. You know, and our delight should be in the Word of God. Keeping his word, understanding what's involved in all of it. Whatever portion you're drawn to by the Holy Spirit, for whatever reason, to read, study, and maybe even something's brought out in Sunday school or church. It strikes a chord. And so you read on. You search a little further. You start meditating on as you go. The word is so rich and full. Full beyond what we'll ever comprehend in this life here. But Jack said there's a lot of nuggets, and you got to dig. You got to get down into the core of the word. If you just read it, stay over the top of it, that's fine. But we all know, as we come here, there's so much more to the word than just what's on the surface. And there is a process in all this, okay? There's always a process in God's word. And that process is, now you all know this, but I'm going to say this anyway. First, it behooves you to study the word. That's the first step you got to take. Not just study the word, but the whole word of God. Don't just study a part that you kind of like or you think you've heard all your life or something that one that you like in Romans or whatever, you know. Paul's epistles, from cover to cover, it's all fantastic. But it's the whole Word of God. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been put out like it is. It wouldn't have been recorded as it is. So I'd like to go to Acts 17. And like I say, there's a lot of scriptures I could have gone to, let me tell you. But for me, it's going to be future study. Acts 17, and we're going to start in verse 10. And this is when the brethren had sent Paul and Silas unto Berea. Verse 10, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now these were more noble, right? More noble, or fair-minded is what it says in my text, but more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. I read verse 11. So this is the part I really wanted, verse 11. He said that in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. Now, what does that mean to you? To me, it means they were willing. Their minds were open. They were ready. They're all ready to get into the Word. And what they did, they searched the Scriptures. They didn't search it on Sunday and leave it go the rest of the week. They searched it daily. Daily, whether those things were so, right? Everybody says, right? Where Erlene preaches, or whoever, Jordan or Jack, when he preached, he always said, hey, don't take my word for it. Search it out for yourself. See if it's true. Because, you know, we're not perfect. And we might have said something that wasn't right. I doubt it, but not with Jack anyway. So, or Gordon or Erlene. But the thing is, how do you know if you're going to know what's right if you don't study the Word? It's like when you're in school, you took a test. You can't just go in and walk in there and take a test because you're going to flunk it because you don't know the subject. You haven't studied. And you weren't ready in your mind or your heart. This all contains, very simply, I just love this, readiness of mind and search the Scriptures daily, where those things are so. It said in 12, therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. So, when they went in to preach, it says in verse 13, but when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached to Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. So they were just so willing. Their hearts were just willing, full of willingness to come and hear the word and search the Scriptures. And that's really very important for all of us. And we know that God blesses all who read and meditates on His word. He blesses you beyond all you could understand. More than we'll ever know here, He blesses us. It is really, it's really something, I think. I think it's a wonderful thing. The more you get into God's word, the more you are blessed. And I don't mean blessed by nothing ever goes wrong in your life. I'm not saying that. I'm saying you are blessed by the word of God. Amen. Because God blesses all those who take in His word and have a desire in their heart to meditate on His word. He loves everyone. But there's going to come a day, the ones that don't come and read the word, don't meditate on it, don't take any part in it at all, they will be left out. And the next part of this process, we just had the song this morning, and it's the Holy Spirit. You must have the Holy Spirit to be able to understand anything, reading the word. You know, I've known people in my life say, hey, I read the Bible from cover to cover. Maybe they read it two or three times, maybe 10 times, I don't know. Maybe they read it a week at a time, I don't know. But I can tell you what, right now, they didn't understand it because they didn't ask for the Holy Spirit, didn't have that Holy Spirit in them to reveal it to them. So the Holy Spirit is very important for everything, we all know that. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians. And we're chapter 2. And we just had this, right? Not too long ago. Erlene's going through Corinthians. It's a wonderful epistle. 1 Corinthians 2. This is going to be a long reading. We're going to start in verse 4. Yeah, why not? We'll just start in verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you that testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's a lot right there. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Okay? Holy Spirit. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but, what? In the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. For we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of the world knew, for they had known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But it is as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Correct? That's a good verse. For what man knoweth the things of man? Say the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So there's a lot there, right? Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Very important, these verses here. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So you go back to this verse 14, just talking about reading the Bible. The guys say they read the Bible. It's a nice book. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, because for them, they're foolishness. They don't understand it. They have no idea. They just don't understand it at all. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. It's very important. It behooves everyone. And, you know, when I first came here, I didn't understand that portion or that part of it. But as I sat here and I listened more and more, and I talked to different ones in the meeting, there was a lot of people in the meeting when we came in 95. And I suppose there was a lot more when you all were growing up here too. But anyway, as time went on, and when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, that's when it all started to open up. And I was so happy, because I felt like it was my eyes had been opened. My heart was filled with joy beyond belief. The feeling I have, never had a feeling like that in my entire life. Ever. I mean, when I was saved, I was happy, joyful. But when I received the Holy Spirit, that was something else. That was, I don't know, it's just hard to explain the feeling you get. And it's important when I received the Holy Spirit, how things started to really open up to me, the Word. And I got more hungry, more thirsty. I wanted to know more. If I didn't want no more, I wouldn't have came here anymore. But why would you go and be saved, be filled with the Spirit, and stop? You shouldn't. It should make you want to go on and learn more of God's Word, learn more of our Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ. The quickening power of the Holy Spirit will and does make crystal clear the Word of God unto all that seek with their heart. So there's another part of it, with your heart. But God knows your heart. God can fill you with so much. Jack used to say your heart would just burst, because we can't receive it all here. Not until we get our glorified bodies in heaven will we be able to fully receive all that God has for us. I guess we'll be learning for a long time. And that's fine, because we have all eternity to learn, right? So it's really going to be pretty. I just can't imagine what it's going to be like. But that's our hope. It says it makes crystal clear the Word of God unto all that seek with their heart. Let's go to 2 Timothy. Second Timothy 3. Missed a verse back there I wanted to read. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. You all know this. This is all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or complete or mature, thoroughly furnished in all good works. All given inspiration of God. Profitable. How profitable is it? Well, it's up to you how much profit it brings you. This is all entirely up to you as a child of God, how far you want to walk with the Lord. Now, the way the world's going, I would think you want the Lord right by your side or ahead of you, leading the way every step you take here, constantly. I think it's wonderful. I think about this a lot, even when Gordon's speaking or Earlene or even when Jack spoke or anybody that gets up and brings forth the word. How anybody could not know what this says. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, I've heard people say over and over when I was a young man, Vietnam, come home, different things, that the Word of God, the Word here, the Word, was written by man. So why should I believe it? Well, you don't have to. But I tell them, well, you don't have to. But I believe it. Okay? I didn't understand it all then by any means, but I guarantee you, I believe it. And... And it says right there, I mean, all you got to do is search the scriptures. The Holy Spirit will lead you to the truth. Very simple. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Man wrote it down, but it's by inspiration of God, by His Holy Spirit. He allowed them to write down what He wanted written. That's why it's so important not to take away from the Word of God or try to add to it. Or put in your own thought with it. Just read the Word. Holy Spirit will impart to your heart what's to be brought out for that moment, for that day, next week, whatever. And then again, we all need prayer in order to commune with our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, right? And the Apostle Paul never ceased to pray for all the saints. That's another thing that I love about Paul. He prayed for them. I mean, the guy is locked up in prison. He's been beat. He's hanging in stocks. He's probably standing rats and water and everything else in dungeons. And he prays for the saints because he loves them so much. He never ceased to pray for them. That's so when we ask prayer for different ones, we should never cease to pray for one another. It should be you shouldn't have to be tell yourself to go pray for them. It should just be in your heart to pray for saints everywhere. Now, we don't know many saints across the world. I don't. I don't. Anybody out of this meeting or here and there, a few here and there around, different meetings that are close by that I know of. But I don't know everybody that's in the world that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and in our Father. I don't know. But Earlene knows, because she gets papers from this minister in India that says, pray for us. First thing he says, what's the first thing he says on his letter? I'm praying for you all. He's praying for us. We got it easy. Where he lives, he don't have it easy at all, because they want to kill him. They don't want him bringing forth the Word of God. They don't want Christianity in that country. Korea is another one. Muslim countries all over. But there, you know what? There's always a believer in among those myths. They may try to get them all, but there's always one or two or a handful or whatever that get around and get the word spread. Like the paper. We don't know how far that paper goes. He mails it out all over the place. But how far it goes from that point on, or from somebody's mouth, or what goes on, it could go a long, long ways. It may go all the way around the world. I don't know. I hope so. But he never ceased. So let's go to Ephesians. I think it's important, really important to pray for everyone. I'm not saying you can't pray for yourself, but really, praying for others is, we should always pray for the saints we have here, for one for another, but saints everywhere in this world. Ephesians 1, and we're going to read from 15. Let's see if I can find my page. To 19. I could start at the beginning, could start anywhere. One thing I wanted to read is this one in 13. In whom you, 12. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Think about that. And sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. So there's a lot here. I mean, we could be here for weeks going through this. But the thing is that he prayed. He made mention. He always remembered all these ones that believed. Think about it. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That's what we want. We want it all. We want all, every bit of knowledge we can receive down here. You should be hungry for the knowledge. And I guarantee you, the Holy Spirit will give you wisdom and give you a revelation in the knowledge of him. And it said that your eyes of understanding of the word be enlightened, lit up, like dove's eyes, should be lit up with a brightness. People should see that in you, right? That you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of his, of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Oh my, there's so much here. And Paul prayed not only for himself. He asked prayer. He sent Timothy and different ones out and said, pray for me. You know, he was in a lot of torture and everything going on. I remember though, what, he's in prison and he starts singing. Oh boy, I tell you, Paul was just precious. What a wonderful example he is for us. When Paul prayed not for himself, but especially for the saints, he prayed for what? Wisdom, enlightenment, spiritual knowledge, spiritual riches, and spiritual maturity. These are things that Paul wanted. That's why he wrote his epistles. He wanted everybody to have all this. And that's just part of it. But think of all that's there. Wisdom, enlightenment, spiritual knowledge, spiritual riches, and spiritual maturity. It says nothing about knowing what's going on in the world so you can get ahead. Doesn't say anything about that. It's not, has nothing to do with the world whatsoever. But the Lord will bless you while you're here. He can make things go well for you, provide, and he does. He knows our needs. Amen. He knows every step we take or what we need. Amen. But what we really need is wisdom and life and spiritual knowledge. Spiritual riches and spiritual maturity. That the life of Christ would grow in us. That's what we want. We want the life of Christ to grow in us. We want to grow up in Christ. It's important. So important. Colossians. You know, I love all these epistles, man. I really love the Ephesians and Colossians. And I love them all. I really do. Colossians 1, verses 23 through 28. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sakes, which is the church. The apostles of the church age. Think all he went through so we'd have this today. We don't know what all he went through. He says, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from the ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Think about as you follow along, you read this. Think about all that it says. Praise the Lord. Verse 28, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. He says, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Just think, I'm thinking about Paul, okay? Think about all this word that came to him by the Holy Spirit of God. Think all this that he put down on parchment paper, whatever they wrote on. And you gotta realize his eyes were bad, right? So he had a hard time, and sometimes somebody had to write it for him. But this man, just a man, he'll tell you, I'm just a man. He was horrible when he started out until he got turned about face. But think of all the stuff that God used him for. All this word that's so precious today. Warning every man, teaching every man all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Meditation is a duty which ought to be attended to by all who want the very best to their spiritual interests. It should be deliberate, close, and continuous. Think about it. Spiritual interests. You know, you buy something, they charge you all kinds of interest, right? But think about it. We want the very best spiritual interests. For our spiritual interests. That's what we want. We want to grow spiritually. Because this body, what about yours? Mine's growing old. It ain't going to be here for very long. And I'm glad. Because there's no other place I'd rather be than be with my Lord. I'm going to close with something here as soon as I find it. Psalms 119. Psalm 119, verse 97 through 104. Might go a little further, I don't know. Psalms 119, starting in verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. Sound familiar today? Your enemies are all around you, but God's commandments, his word, has made you wiser than the enemies around you. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients or the ages, because I keep thy precepts. Precept upon precept, line upon line. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. This one's sweet, right? How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. So think about it. How sweet are thy words unto my taste. Are they sweet? God's word sweet to you?
Yes.
It should be sweeter than anything you've ever tasted. They always talk about the honeycomb and the honey. And I don't know if I've ever eaten a honeycomb. I mean, some honey was fresh, pretty fresh from the hive. It does taste super sweet. You can't sit and eat a whole bunch of it like Winnie the Pooh or something like that. But God's word is sweeter than anything in this whole world. Our Lord is sweeter than anything in this world. His word is so precious. So that's all I had this morning. I hope you all get a blessing from it, or gets you to meditate on something, some part of it, or brings you to meditation on God's word in any way, or wherever you meditate, wherever you decide to go to, wherever the Holy Spirit leads you to. You know, it is important, and I didn't understand it at first, but it is very important. Before you even start reading, and I've done this, I've just picked the Bible and started reading, you know, just turn it open and start reading and study a little bit. But I didn't do one thing. One thing I forgot to do. I get in a hurry. Okay? Didn't ask the Holy Spirit. I didn't pray. The Holy Spirit to reveal to me what I'm to have at that moment in time in my life, at that very second. God has something for you every minute of the day. But you have to ask. You have to go to him in prayer. That's all I have. Anybody have any questions or comments?
That's one reason why we receive yeah.
I know. That's right.
Stop and think about this. Meditate on it.
And for a long time, I was like, Siva, what does that mean? Siva. Must be some word they threw in there or something. And then I started learning that's what it meant. Think on this. Meditate. It's important. It really is. So, all right, let's stand.